This episode of Robin's Podcast is sponsored by DC Universe. Love DC movies, shows, and comic books? We've got good news for you. DC Universe, the ultimate DC membership, is offering a special 14-day free trial to our listeners. Read over 20,000 digital comics, catch up on original series like Titans, and starting November 29th, watch their newest adult animated series, Harley Quinn. Visit www.dcuniverse.com/podcastone and use promo code ROBPODCAST. That's www.dcuniverse.com/podcastone. Use promo code ROBPODCAST to start your 14-day free trial. This code is valid through December 31st, 2019. Robin's Podcast is sponsored by Warner Brothers Digital Networks, the operator of DC Universe. DC Universe is available only in the U.S.
Let's talk about tweets and take a quiz so we can find out who the smartest one is. What happened this week in Survivor?
Yes, thank you, Will from America, for the theme to this week in Survivor. And I thought that the man behind this week in Survivor history was going to sing the opening lyrics like he said he was going to do just a second ago. Let's find out what gives with Mr. Jordan Kalish.
I got cold feet, and I also thought that your suggestion of me singing it was a joke.
It was real.
I didn't think you actually wanted me to say, oh, okay. I mean, I could go back.
Yes.
Let's talk about tweets.
Yes. Well,
and
it
take
was
a quiz.
Well, a so conversation can similar to one that I had on RENAP several months ago with Akiva Winokur, who I believe is scheduled to still be a guest on this podcast at some point this season, that you said that you know that the opening lyric isn't let's talk about Twitch.
No, it's let's talk about tweets, which I didn't know until talking to Wolf of America about the song. But yeah, you know what? I guess we have had this conversation before, and I'm just like doing my best of de-schoolish at this point.
Yeah, because well, we haven't had this on the podcast. This conversation.
Oh, was this this was like post recording banter?
Maybe.
I don't remember.
It wouldn't make any sense if the song was called "Let's Talk About Twist" or "Let's Talk About Twish" and then and take a quiz.
No, I guess that's true. Because we talk about tweets and then we take a quiz.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm very excited to have this woman here with us on Twitch for this week. And she, from what I understand, has never appeared on the quiz. And we don't know why. I thought that she was not pro quiz, but she says that she is. So let's find out what's going on here with the co-host of our Bachelor Wrap Up. Everybody knows her in terms of that being an expert on all of the snack chat going on. Here is the great Haley Strong. Haley, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. This is a big snack chat week, and even though I'm Canadian, I am fine to be quizzed about all of the American Thanksgiving traditions.
Okay,
no
good.
Problem.
Okay, well, hold that thought. We'll talk about that. Jordan.
Yeah, so let's talk about your first
yes.
point. Haley Strong has never been on Twitch. You're right. I believe that's a travesty, but I think I'm biased. So I've been waiting for my call, I'd say, since Twitch began.
Yeah.
Seeing all of my friends from the Rappiverse go on Twitch, and like I never got the call. And I didn't want to like message you and be like, hey,
yeah.
why haven't I been on Twitch? Because I didn't want to seem too forward or whatever. And then so Jordan messages me out of the blue the other day and said, hey, you want to be on this? And I, what did I respond, Jordan? Like, yes, finally, I'm so
yeah.
excited. Thank the Lord.
Yeah, what's the
yes.
deal, Jordan? Why haven't we ever had Haley take the Twitch quiz before?
So as I told Haley, this is the explanation is that I had thought, for some reason, I don't know how this happened. It was in my head that like 2 years ago, I had messaged Haley about doing the quiz, and she said that you know she was very flattered that I asked, but she did not want to do the trivia. However, this is a conversation that never happened. It's a conversation that I had with somebody else, and in my head, for whatever reason, I attributed it to Haley. So it was, I guess, kind of like a Berenstain Bear situation. I thought I asked Haley to do the quiz, and I thought she said no. So this. This season, now that we're doing pinch quizzers, I was like, oh, perfect. We could have Haley Strong. We could get a pinch quizzer. But then I looked back at our chats on Twitter, on Facebook, and I realized I have never asked her to be on the show, so we don't even need a Finch closer.
And I just assumed that you hated me.
No, I'm a stan. I love all the podcasts that you do.
And like, I have a tendency to be kind of, you know, in my real life and podcasting life, to be like slightly forgotten about. And like, that's mm-hmm. fine. It's whatever. Just because, you know, other people come to top of mind first. So I just figured like, oh, like, I'm just like not who Jordan wants for this or whatever. No, and, you know, I was always just kind of like, oh, okay. Like, I get it. You want other like better people. Like, I totally get it. But I, you know, have been waiting patiently for my call, and I'm so excited that I finally got it. Okay.
Well, you're here, and
I will say this, Hallie. I have listened, I believe, to more episodes of your Bachelor in Paradise recap than I have watched Bachelor in Paradise episodes. So I am a fan.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You've got to go through this
specifically. Bachelor in Paradise. Or you listen to one and you watch zero Bachelor in Paradise episodes.
I watched two episodes of Bachelor in Paradise this season, and I maybe listened to four or five of the podcasts.
Okay.
I'm happy. You know what? As long as you hit download, you don't even have to listen. As long as That's you're true. Downloading the episodes, I am fine with that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, Haley, that on behalf of Jordan Kalish, I just want to apologize again for not having you on sooner. I'm actually upset with Jordan.
I break down, and then I rectify.
Yeah, and like, I don't know where anyone got like this Haley's anti-quiz thing, because I like quizzes. I'm not as good at it as many people and, you know, around, but that's fine. Not everyone has to be a 10 out of 10. Some of us are happy being 6.5. Mm-hmm. But I'm ready. I'm ready to do this, maybe. Okay. It depends what the questions
are. All right,
are.
Good. Well, I hear you on depends how the questions are. It's been...
The questions are going to be great as they always are.
Okay. All right. So anyway, Haley, what's been going on? It's not your busy season in terms of...
This is my off season for a lot of stuff. My jobs are pretty crazy. I work at a seasonal restaurant, and I also work in event planning. And then the Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise, all that stuff happens in the summer. So my summers are like super jam packed. So October, November, December is kind of like my off season. So I'm just having like a great time relaxing. Ethan and I don't know if I talked to you since this happened. Ethan and I got engaged this summer, right at the end there.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. And then we just got a kitten this week. So that's been a real fun little side project going on. But yeah, I've just been chilling, grilling, and whatever else rhymes with that.
Wow.
Penicillin. What did you name the kitten?
His name is Jasper, that was the name the shelter gave him. Him and all of his siblings were named after Twilight characters. So there was Emmett, Jasper, Rosalie, and Alice. And like, do I like Twilight? No. Did I think the name Jasper fit this cat? Yes. So we kept it. We thought it was a pretty decent one, because sometimes you'll go into shelters and their names are going to be like Spot. And it's like, mm-hmm. I'm not keeping Spot. Like, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, no offense to those whose pets are named Spot. Just like, was not for us.
Whatever happened to Taylor Lautner? Is he still around?
So, he was in this really great British show for a couple seasons. What's it called? Oh my God. It's called Cuckoo.
Passions.
No, Cuckoo. So, it's on Netflix. You should watch it. It's really funny. The first season has Andy Samberg. The next couple have Taylor mm-hmm. Lautner. And like, that's the last thing I've seen him in. I don't know what he's up to.
Yeah.
Like, super currently, but like,
did a Google search.
Decently currently.
Yeah, it seems like that there's some things about why there's, I guess there are reasons why Hollywood won't cast Taylor Lautner. Yeah, it seemed like that maybe that put that on the Renap wheel, the rise and fall of Taylor Lautner.
Sounds good.
Isn't there like a picture, like a comparison picture of him that's like one of his first Google results, like where it's just him and a llama and they look very similar?
All right, save yes, the llama talk for a couple of months from now, okay? All right. We got to get into Survivor, of course. We're gonna talk about some fun stuff along the way. But Haley, I just wanted to actually, what I wanted to ask you about was that, Survivor has this ongoing scandal from everything that came out of last week's episode. But what I wanted to get your take on was that a couple of seasons ago, I think it might have been like a year and a half ago, that there was a issue where the Bachelor in Paradise ended up having a scandal where that there was an issue during the production of Bachelor in Paradise. And that I know the story like anecdotally, but I just wanted to see with you how if there's any sort of, you know, parallels between the response that ABC had in terms of handling that situation and where has the network gone wrong so far with this?
Sure. And so, yeah, it's going to be hard to look back on this season of Survivor and not have and not focus on this blemish. So the Bachelor in Paradise situation, it was within the first like 2 days of filming. It might have been the first night of filming. Two contestants had a lot to drink and they were getting pretty hot and heavy. And then, you know, some things went down. A producer, you know, stopped it and made a complaint to the head of the company or the head of production or, you know, whatever. And then they just completely shut down production.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so they film usually in June for like an end of July, August viewing or whatever. So they shut down, they completely shut down production for 3 weeks to investigate what happened. And I think it's Warner Brothers who produces the show and ABC. They had an investigation. They flew everyone home from Mexico while they completed the investigation. Then they found that it wasn't necessarily the issue they thought it was, maybe. So everyone came back and they recorded this conversation Chris Harrison had with everybody, you know, saying everyone's views and thoughts about what happened and what will be going on in the future. And some things that are in place now because of the situation. And because it is different because people are eating and drinking and stuff on Bachelor in Paradise, which they're not on Survivor. Mm-hmm. So a lot of, you know, not standards, but you gotta have a lot of inhibitions that just, you know, aren't mm-hmm. what they are when you're sober.
Yeah. It's definitely different, you know, very much apples and oranges in terms of, you know, the two specific instances. I was just more interested to know in terms of how it was handled at the time. Haley, if I remember also, did it blow up really big in the news, like when it happened as opposed to when it aired on the TV show?
Yeah, like news broke in the early June time that everyone got sent home and why it happened and who it was between and what was going on. And then so they put rules in place. They can only have two drinks per hour. If anybody wants to intercourse with somebody else, they have to go to a producer and say, like, yes, I want to intercourse with this person. The other person has to say the same thing.
Whoa.
Like, just hardcore consent. Yeah, they're really, really hardcore about these things now.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see where Survivor goes from here. If they have, like, you have to ask to touch people or hug and, you know, because sometimes context is key. But when people are verbally saying, like, yes or no, that's really important. And it was a huge thing
mm-hmm.
in Bachelor Nation. And like you yeah. say, not just within Bachelor Nation, it blew up, you know, all across the internet. And it was hard to figure out what was true, what wasn't. A lot of people were putting in their opinions and they didn't really know what the show was. And obviously people look down on The Bachelor to begin with. So, they're even harder on it. Obviously I don't think Bachelor in Paradise dealt with it perfectly.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to deal with perfectly. But they tried and they put some new rules in place in hopes that it'll never happen again. Yeah. And it re-blew up when the episode aired too, just to kind of like see what happened.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like that overall, and tell me if I'm crazy, that I feel like that overall it was news when it happened, but I feel like that it was considered that it was handled well by the production.
That's hard because everybody's perception of mm-hmm. if it was handled well is different.
Yeah.
Did Amy and I believe it was handled well at the time?
It just doesn't seem like it's the same type of controversy it seemed like that at least in how it was perceived, I guess, when it aired, that I don't. And again, I'm not in Bachelor world. It seems like that there is a lot more trouble with, you know, how this situation is still being digested by the audience as opposed to the Bachelor situation.
Yeah, and I think maybe it's because Bachelor took such drastic steps to take care of the situation, mm-hmm. where it feels like Survivor didn't.
Yeah. Okay.
And maybe that's a difference between how far on in the season they are in Survivor, where in Bachelor in Paradise, it was right at the beginning. Like, would it be different if it happened, you know, 2 weeks into production there? Or, you know, it's really hard to say, but at least it felt like the Bachelor did something that actually mattered, where it kind of feels like Survivor is like, we did something, congratulate us, like we mm-hmm. talked to them, where it yeah. really should have been like a one and done situation. And sure, it again, just like Bachelor, it's hard to do something like this perfectly. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm hoping that production is seeing the mistakes they made. And I hope that they will be apologetic for it and understand why people are upset and have steps in place that this won't happen ever again.
Yeah. And it really seems like that the fact that like they sent the contestants home on The Bachelor, and I don't think that that would necessarily be, you know, the similar way that it should be, you know, handled on a Survivor for a lot of different reasons. But it seems like that the fact that they stopped, they paused and figured out, like, you know, what was going on, and did, like, in the case of this, like, all right, we're really going to get to the bottom of this before we get the game back going.
And they were willing to, like, not have the season go on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a huge moneymaker for ABC. So the fact that they were even willing to be like, hey, like, you know, if it's found that, like, that there is some wrong going on, we are fine with just canceling this and figuring it out.
Yeah,
but they have to, right? With all the liabilities and stuff, they would have had to. But yeah, so then they started filming again 2 weeks later, and then the season was aired a week later than usual. I think it started a week later than usual to be able to deal with the production time and stuff. So yeah, I think the major difference is that it felt like The Bachelor tried.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously on Survivor, you can't really send everybody home, but we've had situations on the show before where there's been a hurricane and, yeah. and they've, you know, kind of evacuated the people for a day. I feel like this could have maybe been treated more like that. It would have given the show more time to talk about it, more time to brainstorm what the right thing would have been to do, and then maybe there would have been a better outcome. And I also feel like it just, you know, now that we're one episode past this, I feel like the show has also dropped the ball in making the viewers realize that this was a serious thing that happened. It's something that can't just be swept under the rug. And in this episode, I feel like we should have either gotten a statement at the beginning of the episode, or even better, maybe Jeff recording a video at the beginning of the episode, now that, you know, they've gotten all the reaction that they haven't handled the situation well. And then, you know, Dan being kind of like a narrator in the episode, you know, they could have easily just made him invisible. There were other people who were, you know, instrumental in the Aaron vote. I feel like he didn't need to be such a central figure. I think they could have maybe not really shown Dan in a gameplay light, because I mean, when you think of, it's hard to look at Dan now and see a player because of, you know, what he did to cause this whole situation.
Okay.
They've made people invisible for lesser reasons. So, like, sure. I don't understand why he couldn't have just been invisible this whole season. Like, knowing that this was an issue, like, I don't know why. Like, you know, before recording, we were talking about Purple Kelly. Like, there's a reason she was Purple Kelly. Like, she was invisible the entire time, and that's because she, spoiler alert for those who haven't gotten through Survivor Nicaragua yet, she quit, and like that's why she didn't get any screen time.
Mm-hmm.
So like why did Dan get screen time? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Lots of questions around.
There's a lot of unanswerable questions.
Unanswerable questions.
Circling this season.
Okay. All right. So this week we did have our two people go home in Aaron and Missy. Haley, any thoughts on Aaron and Missy as they're out of the game this week?
Any thoughts on Aaron?
Missy?
It's hard for me to separate any of the things that kind of went on last week with what they did earlier in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were interesting characters, although, you know, I didn't get much from Aaron, I'm not going to lie. Missy was an interesting character.
He had his kid on
his
socks.
She played very hard.
Yeah.
Which is appreciated. Obviously, she was thinking, she was trying. You love to see people like that. But I think it was a very smart move to vote both these people out.
Jordan, just to go back a couple of weeks to when that Missy and Aaron were part of the group that had the decision of whether or not to throw that challenge going into the merge, potentially, where ultimately they decided not to throw a challenge. I feel like hindsight 2020, probably they changed a lot of things, but I feel like that maybe throwing that challenge, get rid of Tommy before the merge, might have been a better way to go.
For sure, and I'm pretty sure we made that point at the time, and a lot of people made that point.
Yeah, that was a first guess.
Yeah, and again, this was such a, you know, this is something that they haven't done much on Survivor before, where they sort of, it's sort of almost like an unmerged where there's two different tribes now going to Tribal Council. So it sort of took that for them to go home. But I mean, I think they were potentially on the ropes anyway without knowing it. And yeah, I think throwing the challenge in that situation would have been the right move. And you do have to worry about people having idols. It's tough to throw a challenge, especially if you're an athlete. I get that sentiment, but I think it definitely would have been the right thing to do. And I just think, you know, Aaron made himself such a big target by winning the first two immunities. And then Missy, you know, again, we don't know the full story because we don't, you know, we saw a couple scenes where she wasn't speaking nicely to Karishma, but it's the reason you have to play the social game. And Elaine, who I think did a great job making Karishma feel comfortable, was able to get, was able to be in the majority of that vote.
Okay. Haley, of the people that are out there, do you have a favorite person that you are rooting for the most in this season?
Janet.
Yeah. I think Janet's probably the number one answer on the board. I think we're all rooting for Janet. I wanted to ask, though, that I've seen a lot of love for Nora and a lot of love for Karishma. Do you feel like that? Do people have to pick one or the other to be a stan of Nora or Karishma?
No, I think you can stan anyone you want to. They're just completely different players and people. And so it would be hard to be like, oh, I can only pick one or the other. Mm-hmm. And sure, they hate each other, but that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, you stand people on opposite sides before, I think.
Like, it's a good rivalry. Jordan, are you more of a Team Nora or Team Karishma?
I mean, in this episode, I think overall I've been more Nora than Karishma, but more because of the entertainment factor than the actual gameplay factor. But in this game, I was actually pretty impressed by Nora. She was the one that we saw driving the Aaron vote. Again, we don't know, on the island who was really in charge there, but the show gave credit to Nora. I don't see why we shouldn't give credit to Nora for that vote. And I think Karishma, while there were some parts of the episode that were good for her, she found the idol, obviously. She didn't play it unnecessarily at this tribal council, so she still has it. She was able to get Missy out, who she was starting to see as an adversary. But I just think if I were a juror and I witnessed the conversation between Karishma and Missy, where even though Missy came out a little bit, you know, she came out strongly and she didn't make Karishma feel comfortable as she should have. But if I were to see that conversation and Karishma is sort of, you know, Missy said, don't bite the hand that feeds you. Missy was actually trying to not get Karishma voted out. I think Karishma, even if she didn't like the way that Missy was talking to her, should have maybe, you know, played more strategically and not had the kind of outburst that she did, and, you know, sort of walked away from the conversation. So as far as the social game there, I wasn't so impressed by mm-hmm. Karishma. But again, I mean, with the season the way it is right now, I think she's one of the people who's done the least objectionable things on the show.
Okay. I have a couple of Nora clips that I didn't get to play from during the week. First off, I saw Haley that Nora got a lot of props for she's demonstrating the way that survivors should be going about getting consent before initiating physical contact on the show.
Not be voted out of the game tonight. Congratulations,
have back. I have to hug you?
Of course.
Yeah. Nora got the summit. You know, these other players didn't say, oh, I didn't realize that this is what we needed to be doing. I didn't understand what they were saying in the production meeting. Nora gets it.
Yeah. But then Elaine, she goes, Jeff, can I have a hug too? So she hugs him, but then kisses him. Like, No, that's not what we're doing. That's not what we're doing.
So I actually tweeted during the episode, Nora asked Jeff if she could hug him before she did it. You see that, Dan? Hashtag Survivor. And I actually got 1,300 likes on that tweet, which I think is my most liked tweet of all time.
Wow, look at you.
Going viral.
Superstar Jordan Kalish over here.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I never got the call, because you were trying to Hollywood me.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I made the call in the week that I got the 1,300 tweets. So now I've gone big time, so now I'm big enough to have Haley Strong as a guest.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, stop.
And then Nora at that first tribal council, that there was some conversation about, like, what does Janet mean to the group? And this was another clip that really made me laugh. Here's Nora talking about Janet at tribal council.
I talk to Janet all the time. She's my mommy and my friend.
That the way
she's not a girl, she's a mom.
Yeah, she's
this is not a hot take at all, but if you're over 12, you should not be calling people mommy or daddy. Unless it's ironically.
She's my mommy.
Yikes.
So there's Nora.
She's my mommy.
Like, how would you, like, why was that even, why? Oh god.
Yeah.
Oh, Nora, what a gem. Yeah. She is
also Missy had an interesting exit from the game in that second tribal council. Haley, what'd you make of Missy's extended exit?
I loved it.
Yes,
I love some good theater. You know what, I get if people didn't like it, why they didn't like it, but me personally, fan. I don't know. Do I want to see it in every episode? People like having like this after kind of breakdown? Like, no. Do I think it works well for Missy's character? Absolutely. And I love, big fan.
Okay.
I had fun with it.
All right. After Missy ended up finally going and getting her torch snuffed, she talked about her experience. And this is how she described being voted out of the game.
On a scale of dopeness, getting blindsided, that's negatively dope.
This is negatively dope to get blindsided. On the scale of dopeness. Haley, do you know about the scale of dopeness?
Of course.
Yes. So it goes a negatively. Is it negatively dope to decently dope? Is that what the scale is?
Yeah. So I think it's negatively dope to, like, sort of dope to decently dope to dope. Extra dope.
Mm.
Yeah, and then if you get all the way to the top, it's de-stoplish.
De-stoplish.
And then hope is dope.
But Jordan, the way that she has said decently dope over the course of the season, I almost feel like that decently dope is better than dope.
I think, well, yeah, no, I think you might be right. Even though usually if you qualify something with the word decently, it's worse mm-hmm. than if you just say the actual thing. But yeah, I think in the Missy scale, on the Missy scale, decently dope is more dope than dope.
Haley,
so I would go negative, then just plain dope.
And then decently dope. Haley, do you agree with that?
Like uber dope.
Yeah, decently dope feels like 80% dope, or dope feels like 100% dope.
Oh, so dope is all the way decently
dope. Oh, so you think dope is better than decently dope.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's like full dope.
Full dope. I like full dope.
Decently dope is like, it's decently dope. More like dope is like full dope.
This is why we need Missy Exit Press so we can find out the answer to that. All right.
Just email her.
Okay, so we'll have to go on based on, for our lack of information here, that we will say that dope is better than decently dope, and then negative dope is negatively dope is the worst. And so, Haley, as our snack chat expert. I was wondering if we could throw out some of the traditional Thanksgiving foods for you, and you could tell
and then
us
we're gonna dope scale it.
Yeah, on the scale of negatively dope to dope, tell us about some of these foods. Now, when of course you famously Canadian, Haley Strong.
Yes.
That
yeah.
When you have Canadian Thanksgiving, is it all the same food? Is there any differences?
You know, it's pretty much the same, except I'd say, like, we don't have sweet potato casserole.
Hmm. Okay. What do you have? What is there a replacement staple?
No, not really. We just, it's just not really, I think it's, like, sort of a thing here, but, like, not as much of a thing.
Okay. All right.
We just in Canada don't put marshmallows on quite as much stuff as you guys do in the States.
Okay. Not bad. All right. Haley, turkey. Okay. As the nucleus of the Thanksgiving dinner, is that is it decently dope?
I'd say dope. I'm a full dope on turkey.
Okay, I feel like that the turkey gets a lot of hate.
You know, and it does. And I've heard a lot of justification on why it does. I am just a fan of turkey. I love it.
Okay.
I get really excited to have turkey.
I'm also a tryptophan of turkey.
Okay, there you go. All right.
I love turkey. A big turkey leg is like one of my favorite things to eat. Why is that so funny?
I don't know. I feel like the image of you with a giant turkey leg makes me laugh.
Like he's at medieval times. Like,
if you've got, yeah,
waving it any, around.
Any Thanksgiving
oh,
I've
line.
Ever been to, every Thanksgiving I've ever been to is just me with a plate of other stuff, just holding the turkey leg, like gnawing on it, and then using my other hand to eat the sides. It's a sight.
Okay. All right. Haley, what a cranberry sauce.
Super dope.
Super dope. Oh, what is that? That's beyond decently dope.
It's my favorite part. And like I like homemade cranberries. I love jellied cranberries.
Jelly.
Where you just like pour it out and it comes out in the shape of the can it came in. Mm-hmm. Oh my god. My favorite.
Can I
love
say
it.
Something?
Yes.
That might be the best take on the history of this podcast.
Wow.
I feel like I'm going to get a lot of hate about it. Like I did for my bagel take and how I say bagel wrong.
Yeah, you do say bagel wrong, but the jelly cranberry sauce way. I wanted to say bagel, but the jelly cranberry bagel. Sauce is way better than any homemade cranberry sauce.
Haley, remind me, what was the bagel take of it? There was something going on in the world. It was like a bagel. There was bagels were trending on Twitter for some reason, right?
Ugh, I don't remember. I just, you know what? No, like, didn't Kiva just like message in being like, ask Haley why she doesn't like bagels?
I don't know. I feel like the bagels were hot for some reason.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Hot
bagels
are
the way
trendy.
To go. Yeah.
But yeah.
What's
I
your
love
favorite
cranberry
type
sauce.
Of bagel?
This year at Thanksgiving, my mom said she brought a can. She was bringing a can. And I said, great. She gave me the can of cranberry sauce. I was worried because there was one can of cranberry sauce. And there was 10 people coming to my house. I was like, not going to be enough cranberries. So I went to the store on Thanksgiving, got another can of cranberries.
Okay.
And then my dad comes later and he's like, I brought another can of cranberries just in case. I was like, great. We have so many cranberries now. And we went through it all.
Wow. Okay. Haley.
Here's what I do.
Yes.
Okay. So I take one of the delicious dinner rolls. I put a layer of turkey on it. A layer of mashed potatoes, and then a layer of cranberry sauce. Eat it like a sandwich.
Okay.
That's usually my day after Thanksgiving. Like, when there's just, like, the white meat left over, I usually go white meat on some rye bread with stuffing and the cranberry sauce. It's amazing.
All right. Haley, no, so instead of me quizzing you, could you tell, is there any Thanksgiving food that is negatively dope?
Stuffing.
Stuffing!
Oh. I am out on stuffing. I just don't love the texture of it. Throws me off. It's always kind of like wet and mushy. You know, sometimes the flavors are a little too strong when really I just like want to focus on that cranberries anyway. Yeah, I don't love stuffing. I'm very reserved with my gravy.
Mm.
I just like a little side dish so I can do a casual dip. Like I'll take my little turkey sandwich and I'll like dip it in the gravy, but I don't want gravy all over my plate. I want to choose how much gravy is associated with my dinner. What else? I do like sweet potatoes, so like I'm fine with that. Sometimes my mom will like mix regular mashed potatoes with sweet potato. Delicious.
Oh wow.
We often do like a roasted veg kind of thing with like turnips and other turnip like vegetables, and then like Brussels sprouts. And I hate Brussels sprouts, so like I don't want that. Is there anything I'm missing?
What about any dessert?
Dessert?
Yeah, any desserts, dope or negatively dope?
I didn't think pumpkin pie was dope until pretty recently, but now I'm like dope. I'm not like super dope, and I'm not like decently dope, but like I'm like dope. I'm like, you know what? I'm decently dope on pumpkin pie, like decently dope.
What about pecan pie? Because for me, pecan pie is super dope.
I don't think I've ever had a full piece of pecan pie, but I think it would be too sweet for me.
Okay.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It is very sweet. And the one thing I want to add, not a dessert. What about butternut squash soup?
I like it if whoever makes it puts some salt in it, because then I also find that a little too sweet. So that's that for that.
Yeah, I don't know if either of you have had my cousin's butternut squash soup. It's very good.
Okay, all right. Let's get this back on track. On full down the butternut squash soup rabbit hole. Okay.
Super dope.
All right. There you go.
And I'm fine with marshmallows on a side dish, by the way.
All right.
I would eat that.
I'm not normally a big marshmallow fan, but I don't mind it on the sweet potatoes. Okay, but let's get this back to Survivor a little bit, and let's talk about what's going on in the world of social media. We actually have some interesting stuff to talk about this week, and so let's bring in our social media segment, and back with us this week to go into our social media. Here's the great Jacob Seeger Weinstein.
Tweets, baby, tweets.
They unite the whole planet.
Janet.
Go, Janet. Janet.
That you're singing along to?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Haley, we have some wedding news this weekend to mention.
I am so excited about this.
Okay.
I talk about The Bachelor. I love love. Like, I love a good love story.
Love a good love story, and yeah. We have a great one to talk about, because this weekend, Mr. Joe Anglum and fan favorite Sierra Dawn Thomas tied the knot, Haley.
Congrats to them. I'm genuinely happy for them. Still thinking about this couple makes almost no sense to me, but I'm so happy about it.
What makes no sense about them? It's almost like I don't know why they weren't a thing from day one. Like, why did it take like 4 years for this to happen?
I don't know. It just, they just make no sense to me, but I'm so happy they found each other and are in love and want to get married.
Yeah. So, congratulations to Joe and Sierra. Lots of great pictures from the Joe and Sierra wedding. A ton of the season 30 cast looks like was out there for that. So, congratulations to...
And one person from Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh, who?
Oh.
I can't remember. Someone told me and I can't remember who it was now. Right.
Somebody from Bachelor in Paradise over...
Shoshana, maybe?
I don't know, but congratulations.
Yeah, I think she's from Utah, so I think her and Sierra are friends, so that makes sense. Okay. Yeah, I think that's it.
For Joe and Sierra, so congratulations on... how many married survivors do we have, Haley?
Is this a part of the quiz?
No, it's not. I'm just sort of like off the top of my head. Rob and Amber.
These two.
Yeah.
The Survivor Africa people, Kelly and...
Well, so...
Someone?
Yeah, so Kelly... Kim.
Alex,
Kim.
Alex from your season.
Yeah, it's not Kelly, it's...
Alex and Kim.
Right.
It's Kim Powers is married to Alex Bell from the Amazon. There's the Survivor China was Eric Huffman and Jamie Dugan.
Jamie.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I know we're going to get dragged for this now that I open this can of worms.
Robin Nicole Delma.
Right. Me and Nicole Delma, of course. And then
Whitney and Keith.
Are they married?
Whitney and Keith. Yeah. She was on Say Yes to the Dress.
Okay. All right. I wasn't sure.
They've been married for a couple of years now.
They didn't invite you to the wedding?
No, I haven't gotten invited. So, okay. So, Whitney and Keith. And are there any other Survivor weddings?
There has to be.
I feel like that we're missing some. I mean, of course, lots of Survivors get married. But how many Survivors have been married to each?
Oh, John and Parvati.
John and Parvati. Okay. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. To me, the at least on paper, the Joe and Sierra one is way more easy to see than the John and Parvati. But I'm happy. I like them both.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Right. Does Tyson and Rachel count?
Oh, no. Well, I'm trying to think. Were they married?
I think it counts.
They weren't married on the first season, but they were together.
Yeah, they were together.
So weren't John and Jacqueline?
John and Jacqueline?
Were not married?
Yeah, like.
Okay. I guess is that. I think it counts. I don't want Rachel Apostle to drag you on Twitter, Jordan.
I don't think Rachel Apostle is going to drag me.
I think she would. Okay. All right. So congratulations to Joe and Sierra for all that. Okay. We talked a little bit about Nora, and Nora had some great, if not tweets, then retweets, because this week Nora had the opportunity to not just win immunity, but also to win PB&J for her tribe. Haley, you want to quickly weigh in on PB&J?
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a classic. Would I stand on a platform for extra time for peanut butter and jelly? I don't think so.
Oh, you would give up. You would jump off like Nora.
I would probably forget too. I think like you haven't eaten in so long. You forgot. You're just excited you won. I get it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not
mad at her
for that.
Most of the people there would have remembered that there was a reward part of the challenge. But didn't Jeff not even state that until the challenge had started?
Mm.
I think someone was out when he said that they were going to attach the reward. I might be wrong about that, but
Nora's not a PB&J person. Okay. On Nora's Twitter, the great at Nora knows best one. She had some interesting retweets after this past episode that Nora had tweeted or retweeted somebody, a person named Oh My Days on Twitter, at Kalisha_T. Nora doesn't give a F word about that PB&J hashtag survivor with a gif of Beyonce just sort of like you just putting her hand through her hair, not caring.
I mean, I think she just forgot. I mean, someone did make a point in the patron group that it was actually, from a strategic standpoint, even though I don't think she did it strategically, it may have been a good thing for Nora not to win the challenge outright because she doesn't look like as much of a challenge threat going forward. But I think she just was being Nora and forgot. But we got some, again, like amazing TV out of it, so it's worth it for us.
Yeah. Nora did not care. And then also, on top of that, then she had another retweet about this same part of the episode where Nora retweeted somebody else, all is well, at GoodLife49, that said, no, Dean did not open his mouth to say that Nora could have won them PB&J and have the nerve to sound annoyed after he didn't win S-word for them. Boy, bye. And did Hansy Dan actually call her stupid? And then she has a gif of boy, bye.
Great point.
I mean, they should have lasted longer if they wanted immunity and they wanted their tribe to win a reward. They should have lasted longer. I do understand in the moment being disappointed. But again, is it really great, like a great player? If are you really playing a great social game if you're calling someone stupid and pointing out that they could have won you PB&J? I think at that point you want to try to keep it as quiet as possible.
I don't know, but are the shady retweets from Nora, Haley, is this just adding to the legend of Nora?
Absolutely. This feels like quintessential Nora. Like, good on her.
Yeah, good on Nora. Keep the shady retweets coming, because it's super dope.
Absolutely.
If you can't say it.
New segment, Shady Nora Retweets.
Shady Nora Retweets, because it's really great. Then I want to talk about another suddenly spicy Twitter conversation, and at least still fun spicy. There was some talk about Survivor goats, about the goat. There's a talk of the goat army going far into the season, and Haley, the great Ron Clark had something to say about goats, and Ron Clark asked for future Survivor contestants. Ron Clark had said to the next crop of individuals to play at Survivor CBS, get out the goats first. We beg of you. And there seemed to be some sentiment from the rest of the cast of Survivor 38 that seemed to agree with him. I think Julia Carter had tweeted a hashtag goat hunting. People wanted, seems like that War Dog was on board with getting rid of the goats. But it turned out that Julie Rosenberg really took offense to that, that she responded, not all of us, quote, beg of you, nothing about Survivor is easy. Anyone who makes it to the end deserves to be there, period. Maybe the advice should be, if you don't want to be sitting on the jury, learn to play just slightly less aggressively. Do you think that we could see a future season, Haley, of goats versus not goats?
I don't think we'd see a season, but I think that all the goats would end up at the end, or the quote-unquote goats. Listen, I would be a goat, so I'm always supportive of those people, you know, and I agree, like, you made it to the end. You made it to the end for a reason. Like, I think you should get some kudos for that.
Mm-hmm.
So the way you made it there might not be how other people would have wanted to make it there, but you made it there and they didn't. So suck on that.
Yeah. Aurora, she weighed in and said, again, if you're calling someone a goat, you're too busy judging people rather than figuring out how to make it to the end. There's one right way to play Survivor. Make it to the end. If you don't, nothing else matters. You lost.
Yeah. And like, I feel like if you got a goat out early, someone else would just emerge as the goat. Like, I feel like whoever is at the bottom there is always going to be the goat.
Mm-hmm.
Or perceived as the goat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm pro taking out the goats, Jordan. I think I would be, if I played again, I would be like, hey, look, let's just all take out the goats. Let's all go far. Yeah, let's get rid of all the goats.
I think goat is sort of a relative term. I think a goat to somebody could be a winner in a different situation. And I think that a good example of this is Spencer, who got no votes when he went to the end of Cambodia. However, if he had gone to the end of Cagayan, he would have been definitely a contender to win the game. So I think being a goat is situational. I think if you are, you know, if you're playing a great game and you're able to kind of like pull people along and you get to the end with other contestants that the jury views as you know, not playing strategically or not playing socially, then yeah, they're goats and you're going to get the votes. But a goat is also someone who can steal your spot, and it could be dangerous to have all these people around who nobody wants to vote out. So I think there's a balance. I think that there are goats in Survivor. I think there's some people who, you know, no matter what they do, would have a very hard time winning Survivor, but mm-hmm. I also think there's someone, you know, there's people who could win one season and have no chance on another season. So okay. I think it's relative.
All right, there you go. All right, Haley.
There are llamas. There are a lot of llamas in Survivor.
Yes, Haley. And Gavin Whitson had tweeted out, "I might also do this." That responded. I'm sorry. Gavin Whitson responded to a tweet from somebody named Multi that said, gonna tell my kids he won Survivor 38 with a picture of Gavin. Gavin said, I might do this and the TV will always mess up right before that final tribal council. So I wanted to ask you, did you have any good I'm gonna tell my kids Survivor memes queued up?
No, oh my gosh, sorry. No, I feel unprepared for this. Yeah. Any good Survivor memes?
I did want to do one. I thought this was too hot for Twitter, but I did want to do one get a picture of my friend Dan Liu and say, I'm going to tell my kids this is Survivor Dan.
I'm going to tell my kids that Michelle Fitzgerald is the best winner ever.
Okay.
Because I think she's completely underrated. So is that how that meme works?
Gosh, I think you would do, I'm going to tell my kids this is the best Survivor winner ever. And right. Then a picture of Michelle Fitzgerald.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
What about, like, I also
I'm
had
young
a Survivor.
And hip.
Sorry, what was that?
I'm young and hip.
Hello? Yeah.
Oh, I sorry, I misunderstood. Yeah, mine is also Survivor Amazon related. It's going to be, I'm going to tell my kids that this guy won Survivor Amazon. And then, of course, it's going to be a picture of Matt Von Erfelder.
Yes, there you go. I feel
like the best player in Survivor Amazon.
Yeah, I feel like that you could do something with Blake Towsley. I think that there's an opportunity for you to bring that back, Jordan.
I think so. I'm going to brainstorm this after we record.
Yeah.
Wait, I want to clarify, you're listening to this, shading Michelle, be a picture I love of, her.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, say that again, Haley.
I don't want people to think I'm shading Michelle. I love
Why
her.
Why would people think that you're shading Michelle?
You seem sincere. You seem very sincere.
Okay, good. Okay, good. I just want to make, I don't want to get any
You're worried people would think that this was a sarcastic take, that you are, that you don't
think. I don't know. That, some people don't know me.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I disagree. I'm more pro Aubrey, but whatever.
Okay. All right.
That I'm going to get dragged for on Twitter right now.
Okay. Take it easy on Jordan, everybody. All right. Brett LaBelle.
I don't really get dragged that much on Twitter. Okay. It's somewhat rare. Right.
Twitter. Well, come on.
Well, you're about to start, man.
Yeah. what are you guys waiting for? All right. Brett LaBelle says, Nora says, FPB&J, bitches. So I don't know if Brett is sort of the resident survivor snack chat expert, that he seems like that he's pro PB&J. He seems like that's he's not complaining about, like, have you ever had the PB&J in Fiji? He's not complaining about it.
I personally haven't.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to take me to Fiji so I can try that, mm-hmm. I'm down.
Hard to mess up. It's not like the pizza.
Yeah. And then Bryce Isaiah had a good tweet about when Karishma was being spoken to about her health by the other players. He says, they didn't care when she cut her hand, but now they want to call the doctor. So, good job by Bryce. Okay. All right. We are going to finally get to see if Haley has what it takes in the This Week in Survivor History quiz. But first, let me take a moment and thank our sponsors. And those are our friends over at DC Universe. Because if you love...
Yes.
Yeah, if you love DC movies, shows, and comic books, we've got good news for you. DC Universe, the ultimate DC membership, is offering a special 14-day free trial to our listeners. Visit dcuniverse.com/podcast1 and use promo code ROBPODCAST to start your free trial. DC Universe has so much to offer, including the action-packed original series like Doom Patrol, Young Justice Outsiders, Swamp Thing, and Titan Season 2. It doesn't stop there. The highly anticipated adult animated series Harley Quinn premieres on November 29th. Tune in to see Harley, voiced by Kaley Cuoco, break things off with the Joker and attempt to make it on her own. Will she be the newly liberated queenpin of Gotham City? Catch new episodes on Fridays. And if you want to experience more DC, watch new animated films, enjoy animated series remastered in HD, binge some fan favorite DC shows, watch classic films, and so much more. If reading is more your thing, just like for D-Schoolish, DC Universe has over 20,000 digital comics that you can access at your fingertips. DC Universe is available on your favorite devices, so you can watch on the go. Don't waste any more time. Start your 14-day free trial today. Visit www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1 and use the promo code ROBPODCAST. That's www.dcuniverse.com/podcast1 O-N-E. Use promo code ROBPODCAST and get your 14-day free trial. That code is valid through December 31st, 2019. Rob's podcast is sponsored by Warner Brothers Digital Networks, the operator of DC Universe. DC Universe is only available in the U.S. Sorry, Haley Strong. Okay.
It's okay.
All right. Here we go. All right. Let's get to our This Week in Survivor History quiz.
I'm so nervous now.
Twish. Okay. All right. Take it away, Jordan Kalish.
Yes. This is a
even after
long
all the
time...
bad questions, you've never gotten dragged on Twitter.
I mean, what's your definition of dragged? I've gotten tweets that, like, some of my questions were slightly poorly worded, or maybe, but I don't think that's dragged. I mean, no one's ever said anything horrible to me on Twitter. I feel like people get dragged way worse than I do.
Okay.
And I think on a weekly basis, I think that the response, at least the thing is, you know, people could be subtweeting me. I'm getting, like, subtweet dragged. I haven't, like, searched my name without my, like, @JordanKalish.
Okay, I'll do that after the show.
Yeah, we'll see how that turns out. So maybe I am getting dragged, but at least the tweets that are directed at me are typically positive, and often when they're not, they're constructive. So keep coming at me, guys. So here's the quiz, and this is a long time in the making with Hallie Strong, who should have been a guest a long time ago. We have 4 multiple choice questions. You each get to answer 2 of them. If you get the options, you could only get 1 point, but you cannot steal. If you go for 2, your opponent could steal a point if you're wrong, and then we'll go to the final round, in which both of you can receive points. The 4 categories that we have today are cookie adjacent, losers, what do we say to the survivor gods, not today, and let's go to rocks.
Okay. Haley, you go first.
So, Haley, you're the guest. You get to choose first.
I think I gotta go for cookies.
Cookie adjacent. We're going to Survivor Gabon. Yeah. Nothing tastes better than $500 from November 20th, 2008, 11 years ago Wednesday. And I believe, Haley, you're very close to the Randy Bailey situation. So the Gabon auction is known for the cookie incident involving Sugar and Randy, but other stuff happened too. Who won a sealed note that ended up being an advantage in the next immunity challenge?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so now if I answer it,
if you answer it without hearing the multiple choice and you're right, you get 2, but Rob has a chance to steal.
Right. You know what? I'm going to go for it. Kenny.
Kenny is incorrect.
Ooh.
Darn it.
Okay. All right. Can I hear the question one more time?
Yes. So the question is, the Gabon auction is known for the cookie incident involving Sugar and Randy, but other stuff happened too. Who won a sealed note that ended up being an advantage in the next immunity challenge?
A sealed note that ended up being an advantage. I'll say Bob.
It was not Bob. It was Corinne Kaplan.
Oh, okay. There you go.
And she did not win immunity. So it was one of those advantages where it like gets you to the final round, but then you still have to beat 2 people. So she did not win immunity there, unfortunately.
Okay.
So neither
no
of you
harm,
get a point.
No foul.
Yep. And it is Rob's turn. We have Galoozers. What do we say to the survivor gods? Not today. And let's go to rocks.
Let's go to rocks.
Okay, let's go to rocks. Millennials versus Gen X, $1 million gamble from November 23rd, 2016, 3 years ago, Saturday. On the famous rock draw that sent home future YX Lost host Jessica Lewis, Zeke and Hannah were immune due to the fact that they were the 2 players that received the tied votes. Jay was also immune since he won the immunity challenge. Who else at the rock draw was immune and therefore did not draw a rock?
Okay. Somebody else was immune. I will say, I'm going to guess, and I'm going to say that it was Hannah.
Hannah is incorrect. So, Haley, you get to steal a point.
Okay, so Millennials versus Gen X. Let me put myself in that place. Who was there? Was David immune?
David is incorrect. The answer was Ken McNichol because David played his idol on Ken. He thought that Adam had thought that he overheard that Ken was going to get the votes. I think
Sunday.
That actually on the podcast the next week, Sunday, kind of deked them. Sunday
him.
Got the credit for that.
Yeah.
So, yes, you both also get 0 points on that. Mm-hmm. So we have 2 more categories. We are tied. Haley, you could either choose Galoozers or you can choose what do we say to the survivor gods, not today.
That one.
What do we say to the survivor? Okay. We're going to Blood versus Water, Big Bad Wolf, November 20th, 2013, 6 years ago Wednesday. Who came in first place in the first post-merge Redemption Island Truel, winning the right to give away an idol clue to someone still in the game?
Can you reread that?
Yes. Who came in first place in the first post-merge Redemption Island Truel? And this is not the season Redemption Island. This is the first Redemption Island Truel of Blood versus Water. Winning the right to give away an idol clue to someone still in the game.
Who was it? I want to say it was Tina, but I don't think it was because I think she didn't like outright win any of those until the very last one when it actually mattered. Who would have been out? Who went out? Who went out? John Cody.
John Cody is not correct. So, Rob, you can steal a point.
Okay. This is so much fun when we don't hear the multiple choices. I believe it was Vetus.
Vetus is correct. You remember who he gave the note to?
It was the first extra
John
point.
John Cody was eliminated at that point. Yeah. This is not for an extra point, but you could if you could figure this out.
Did he give it to Katie?
He did give it to Katie, and it's actually the first time in a while that the person who received the note actually kept it and did not throw it in the fire because she was at the bottom at that point. So, Rob, you have a 1-0
But she didn't find the idol, right?
She did not find the idol.
Yes.
Sierra Easton actually tricked her into telling her that she didn't have the idol, which was a great scene. So, Rob, you get the last question. This is Galoozers. We're going to Survivor Samoa, the Day of Reckoning, November 19th, 2009, 10 years ago Tuesday. We all remember at the Samoa Final 10 that Shambo sided with the Foa Foas, evening the numbers to 5-5, and that poser Bobby. John Fincher flipped against Laura on the revote in order to avoid a rock draw.
He was also stoked on pie, also, Haley.
He was stoked on pecan pie. Who did he flip his vote from? You're never going to remember what I said here.
No.
Who did he flip his vote from? In other words, who did the Galoo Alliance minus Shambo vote for? You need me to read that again?
Yeah.
It's a long question.
Yeah. Just give me the short version. Who did at the final 10?
Okay, so Samoa Final 10, John Fincher's opposer. So at the Samoa Final 10, Shambo sided with the Foas. It was a 5-5 vote. John Fincher flipped against Laura on the revote in order to avoid a rock draw. Who did he flip his vote from? In other words, who did the Galoo Alliance minus Shambo vote for?
Okay, I will say that I like this, so we don't get the multiple choice, and I'll give Haley the chance to get it if I get it wrong. So I'll say they voted for Russell.
Russell's incorrect.
I think they voted for Mick.
Mick is also incorrect. Mick was feckless.
Oh my God.
It was Natalie. They tried to vote for Natalie.
Natalie,
yeah. So she would have actually been safe if they had gone to Rocks there. So, Rob, you're going to go into the final round with a 1-0 lead. And I can't believe we didn't touch on this during the social media segment, but a former Twitch contestant, Zeke Smith, started a great hashtag this week. Hashtag remember when Josh Wiggler. And this game is called hashtag remember when Josh Wiggler. So I'm going to ask you a question about Josh Wiggler's takes from this week in Survivor history. There's going to be a multiple choice of two, so there's going to be A and B, and you have to give me the right answer. So, Haley, you are trailing. The way that this works, if we're tied after four responses, we're going to go to a tiebreaker. If you get one wrong, you can't gain any more points on this question. So, Haley, if you are wrong on this question, you automatically lose the game.
Couple things. Haley, do you think will this be the reason that Jordan Kalish gets dragged?
For this question or for forcing me to lose with his terrible question?
For this game.
Why? Is this not... What's wrong with this game?
Oh, I don't know. It could be arbitrary.
I think people like it.
Okay. also, Russell Hance, that he responded to the GOAT conversation that Ron Clark started. He said, why would they do that when they think they should be able to beat them? Russell, who famously lost to Sandra, who he said was a goat. I'm not sure why he wouldn't be more in agreement with Ron Clark. Also, Russell's pinned tweet is, I think I'd be good at finding infinity stones.
He probably would be. I think.
What's your pin tweet, Rob?
And I think Russell would be good at finding infinity stones. I think that he found all those idols.
I think you're right. I think he would be good. I think Ty would be good.
Yeah.
I think Haley would be good.
No, Haley, you mean on the goat stuff?
No, what's your pin tweet?
It's just my link to the Patreon video that I posted. I was very excited about it when I posted it, but it talks about how that I made a lot of podcasts in 2016. And while it's a link to the video, which I'm still proud of, the pin tweet is terribly dated. It just has a ton of likes and retweets, and I wish I could edit it.
So why can't you just like tweet the video again and make that your pin tweet?
Yeah.
It's just that I got so much such a great response to that specific tweet. I guess it's a good memory thing.
Yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah.
And Jordan, do you just change yours every week?
I do. I whenever we release a podcast, I make the link to that. The pin
oh,
tweet.
Look at you.
But I think
interesting.
It's a good idea.
Yeah,
it is a good idea.
Yeah. Okay. So now it's Nick Adanza. Next week it's going to be Haley Strong.
There you go.
I can't wait to retweet that.
Yeah.
All right. I feel like you guys are stalling here. This
you were hoping you forget about that there's a quiz. Okay. All right. Let's go in. Let's go into this. Okay. All
so,
right.
So, Haley, you need to get this question. Oh, first of all, you need to pick a number between 1 through 4 to decide the order.
3.
Okay. During David versus Goliath, which two things did Josh tweet are extremely his shit? A. Angelina's negotiations with Probst and her constantly bringing up the rice. B. The Survivor editors visually dividing the island into Christian sectors, and Mike White saying cats.
A.
A is incorrect. The answer is Josh Wiggler's shit, Survivor editors visually dividing the island into Christian sectors, and Mike White saying cats. So unfortunately, Haley, you finish with a score of 0. The final score is 1-0. Let's see if Rob would have gotten his question.
Now, is this just based off of Josh Wiggler's Twitter?
This is, well, there's Josh Wiggler's Twitter, and there's one question from a podcast.
I had a little more respect when I thought that you had gone back and listened to a bunch of podcasts from this week.
We already did that with This Week in Robin Akiva, and that was a lot of work.
Yeah, that might have been the closest you came to getting dragged by Twitter.
Yeah, maybe. Well, hot take. I listened back to that podcast. I've been very behind.
You stand by it.
On Renap. I stand by it. I think it was a great podcast.
All right.
I think it was, you know, I mean, do I think it's the greatest Renap of all time? No, I think maybe the Royal Rumble is my favorite Renap. Yeah. But I think it's,
all right, let's
I
get Haley.
Thought it was a above average Renap episode. Haley, not just because I made the questions. I think it was fun.
When, this week in Robin Akiva, was that an above average? Was that on the scale of negatively dope to dope? How dope was This Week in Robin Akiva featuring Jordan Kalish?
I haven't made it to that one yet. I was so upset with my placement in the Royal Rumble. I needed to take a break.
Okay.
All right. So, Rob, would you have gotten this question right? According to... let me do this one. I'm not going to do the next one. I like this one better. on the Wiggle Room, to what tribal council in Survivor history did Wiggler compare John Hennigan's boot? Was it A, Philip Shepherd in Karamoan, or B, Savage in Cambodia?
I'll say it was Savage in Cambodia.
That is correct. He said that John Hennigan was sort of the linchpin of that Goliath alliance, just like Savage was the linchpin of the Bion Strong alliance. And it's sort of when he went out, it sort of allowed that to fall apart. I think Philip Shepherd probably thought he was the most important member of his alliance and that he was keeping things together. But it was really only Eric flipped on that vote once... The Three Amigos pulled off that move. So I think it was a good point. And hashtag remember Josh Wiggler.
Any more Josh Wiggler questions?
Got a couple more. Yeah, I got
okay.
two more.
All right, real quick.
You want them?
Yeah.
Okay. According to Josh's Twitter, what happened in Survivor San Juan del Sur that made him stand up and shout, oh shit, for the first time this season? A, Jeremy's blindside. B, the stick to the plan incident.
I'd say stick to the plan.
Ellie, do you agree or disagree with Rob?
I was going to say that.
It was actually Jeremy's blindside. And then the last one that I have, during Survivor Philippines, Josh Wiggler tweeted, if you're a hashtag Survivor fan, then you need to listen to at Rob Sesternino's interview with blank. Was blank Boston Rob or Jeff Probst?
I think it was Boston Rob.
Ellie, do you agree or disagree?
I would have said Jeff Probst.
It was Jeff Probst. You should, very good.
Okay.
Finally, yeah, I got a question
you did.
Right.
There you go. And yes, you could have, Rob. You did do both of those interviews during Philippines. Rob, I believe, was in October though.
Okay. There you go. All right. There you go.
What memories those were.
This week. This is what the future. This week in Rob is a podcast.
Okay. All right. Do you have any other questions for Haley Strong? Jordan.
Yes, Haley, since this is the first time, and I know it's a travesty, but this is the first time that you've been on Twitch. Who was the first Survivor you followed on Twitter?
Who was the first Survivor player I followed on Twitter? What a great question. Oh my gosh, I have no idea. I remember the first Survivor player that followed me on Twitter.
Ooh, who was that?
Butch.
Really? Butch?
Butch is on Twitter?
Butch is on Twitter?
No, it was like a 3-month, like right when I started watching Survivor, and I would tweet about it, and then he found me somehow and followed me. I don't know.
What?
And I followed him back, and then he never tweeted, so I unfollowed him. But yeah.
Wow.
Butch on Twitter? I want to find Butch. Okay, but who's the first Survivor that you followed on Twitter?
I can
give you a hint that I think we'll give it away.
Oh, you know the answer.
Yeah, he goes and looks it up.
Of course I know the answer, yeah. Oh, yeah, Butch is on Twitter. I follow him.
Mm.
Butch's last tweet is October 25th, 2013. Hello, I have forgotten the etiquette of tweeting. How do I RT? Retweet. At Amanda Cannon Girl, at Andrea L. McDowell.
There you go.
One person retweeted that.
Okay.
Okay, so this isn't necessarily the first one I followed on Twitter. This is just who, like, the first that I am currently following.
This is, yeah, right? I guess if you followed a Survivor contestant and you unfollowed them, they wouldn't be on this list, correct?
Okay. Then is it Rob?
It is Rob.
Okay.
Which is Butch's season. Yeah.
Yep,
and everyone refers to Survivor Amazon as Butch's season. Who was the first Survivor you followed on Twitter that was not, that is not currently on this podcast?
Oh my gosh. Who would it have
your
been?
Your hint is that it is a Twitch alumnus.
Oh my god. Oh, who could it have been? Oh gosh, I am drawing a blank. Maybe like Kim Spradlin. Have you ever had her on Twitch?
No, Kim Spradlin has never been on Twitch. Come on. What do you think this is? No, it was Andrea Velke.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. Okay. Jordan, anything else for Haley?
I think
they're good.
We're all set. Okay. Yeah.
All right, Haley. What a pleasure it was to get to catch up with you. Are you hoping that Jordan Kalish will call you again and get you back on Twitch and so that you can answer a question correctly in your next time on Twitch?
First of all, how dare you bring that up? Yeah, I'm hoping that I'll just become like the third co-host here. I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, invite me back anytime you want. Like, I had so much fun and I failed miserably, obviously. But, you know, failure
only
is
a
just
1-0 win.
Of fun.
Yeah.
Pardon?
It was a 1-0 win.
Yeah, we did. Well, I think we had a great time, you know, being risky and not using the multiple choice. But I really don't think the multiple choice would have helped me at all. So.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Here's another Butch Lockley tweet. But I never burned that down. LOL RT at Jeff Probst. Hashtag Survivor. The fire at Tribal is real. It's very hot on Tribal Council because of the fire.
Okay. There you go. It is hot.
Beautiful.
It is hot. Okay. Haley, do you have a wedding date set yet?
I do. October 3rd of next year.
Okay. All right. Yeah. It's all happening.
It's crazy. I can't believe I convinced somebody to marry me either.
Yeah. And also, good job on scheduling your wedding for the Bachelor slow season.
I was thinking ahead.
That was intentional.
Very smart.
Well, yeah, I just, you know, needed to have it and not the busy season, you know?
Yeah. Of course, you can follow the great HStrong_ on social media. Also on Instagram at HStrong.
Twitter and Instagram, yep.
_.
Don't forget that _.
Yeah.
And if you want to follow me, my sorry.
It's okay.
If you want to follow me, my Twitter. Sorry, I thought you were done. I was going to make the dumbest joke, too. I was going to say, if you want to follow me, you can follow me at Butch Lockley on Twitter. Another Butch tweet, at Jenna Maresca and at Ethan Zahn. Saw you guys on Celebrity Apprentice. How was the pizza?
Okay, there you go. Butch is watching closely.
Yeah, this is from March 11, 2011.
Okay, all right. We don't need the historical deep dive to Butch Lockley's Twitter. Although maybe if you want to come up with a good, I'm going to tell my kids for Butch, then yeah, you can bring him back.
Hashtag remember when Butch Lockley.
Please. All right. Then there
remember
you go.
When Butch Lockley got faded in the shelter.
All right. Jordan Kalish, yes. Anyway, he's on a roll here at Jordan Kalish. Never been dragged
on
Twitter,
roll, just like Haley's Thanksgiving sandwich.
Yeah. All right.
You betcha.
There you go. All right, Haley. Thank you so much. Looking forward to catching up. Of course, speaking of Renap, that we talked about how that Jordan Kalish had one of the most negatively dope episodes in the history of Robin Akivanita podcast. We talked about the Golden Girls season 3, episode 7. Haley, are you a Golden Girls watcher?
I have seen a few episodes, but I am not a continuous watcher of okay. that show.
Season 3, episode 7.
I thought you were going to say my episode of Renap was like one of the dopest, which I believe it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it certainly was, where we talked about the Rehapchular.
Yeah.
Talked about...
Oh, that was dope.
Yes, it was, yeah, dope or decently dope, depending on how the dopeness scale works.
That was better than This Week in Robin Akiva. I could look at this objectively.
Okay. All right. Of course, thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back with News AF and hopefully, from what I understand, the return of Stephen Fishback to Survivor Know-It-Alls this week. But I will confirm that with Stephen heading into Wednesday night. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. We have a good one. Bye.